challenges of youth. O youth in the path of Islam, stand tall. O youth in the path of Islam, stand tall. With patience and prayer you shall not fall. With patience and prayer you shall not fall.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. We welcome our viewers of Madani Channel back to another episode of the program The Challenges of Youth, wherein الحمد لله رب العالمين we discuss various challenges that the youth do face as well as Islamic guidance on how we can overcome those challenges. And for today as well, we have one of the very major challenges that many youth throughout the world, across the globe, do face. We're going to discuss that as well. Before we get towards our topic of discussion, let's first listen to a benefit of the recitation of salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever recites 100 salawat upon me on the day of Friday, Allah azza wa jal will fulfill 100 of his needs. And subhanallah azza wa jalla, 70 of those needs will be for the akhirah and 30 of those needs will be of the world. Subhanallah azza wa jalla, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our topic of discussion for today is marriage expensive? Is marriage expensive? I think this is a question that runs through the minds of possibly millions of youth across the globe. Is marriage expensive? And often the thought that comes to mind is that maybe it is expensive. In fact, people make it look very expensive. But we're going to tackle that discussion in today's program, inshallah azza wa jal. Before we get any further into our topic, let's first listen to a beautiful kalam in praise of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us refresh ourselves with the love of Madinatul Munawwara entering our hearts and embedding itself in our hearts, and that yearning increasing in us to visit the blessed city of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to stand in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara and recite salawat upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah azza wa jal grant us all that good fortune. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin. Enjoy this kalam and we'll be back with our topic of discussion just after the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Bula lo ya Rasulallah, bula lo ya Habiballah.
Raza, kisi sage tayba ke paon bhi chume. Raza, kisi sage tayba ke paon bhi chume. कि तुम और आह के इतना दिमाग लेके चले. प्यारे इस्लामी भाइयों, मदीने का सफर ये इश्क का सफर है, दीवानगी का सफर है. अल्लाह करीम ये सफर इश्क के आलम में नसीब फरमाए.
या रब सोए मदीना मस्ताना बन के जाऊं, उस शमने दो जहां का परवाना बन के जाऊं. या रब सोए मदीना, या रब सोए मदीना मस्ताना बन के जाऊं, उस शमने दो जहां का परवाना बन के जाऊं.
उनके सिवा किसी की दिल में ना आरज़ू हो, उनके सिवा किसी की दिल में ना आरज़ू हो. उनके सिवा किसी की दिल में ना आरज़ू हो, उनके सिवा किसी की दिल में ना आरज़ू हो. दुनिया की हर तलब से बेगाना बन के जाऊं, दुनिया की हर तलब से बेगाना बन के जाऊं.
या रब सोए मदीना मस्ताना बन के जाऊं, उस शमने दो जहां का परवाना बन के जाऊं. या रब सोए मदीना, या रब सोए मदीना मस्ताना बन के जाऊं, उस शमने दो जहां का परवाना बन के जाऊं.
या रस
رسول اللہ بلا لو یا حبیب اللہ
ہر گام ایک سجدہ ہر گام یا حبیبی 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 اس شان اس ادا کا مستانہ بن کے جاؤں اس شان اس ادا کا مستانہ بن کے جاؤں
یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں یا رب سوئے مدینہ یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں
لالو یا رسول اللہ بلا لو یا حبیب اللہ
لب پہ درود جاری دل پر سرور تاری 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 اپنی حقیقتوں کا افسانہ بن کے جاؤں اپنی حقیقتوں کا افسانہ بن کے جاؤں
یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں یا رب سوئے مدینہ یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں
لالو یا رسول اللہ بلا لو یا حبیب اللہ
بہزاد اپنا عالم سمجھے گا کیا زمانہ 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 ہے فہم کا تقاضا دیوانہ بن کے جاؤں ہے فہم کا تقاضا دیوانہ بن کے جاؤں
یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں یا رب سوئے مدینہ یا رب سوئے مدینہ مستانہ بن کے جاؤں اس شمع دو جہاں کا پروانہ بن کے جاؤں
Subhanallah, subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam in praise of the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And I'm sure that now your yearning to visit the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwarah has increased even further. I know it was there. Most definitely every Muslim wants to visit the blessed city of Makkatul Mukarramah, the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwarah, the blessed Haram of Makkah Sharif, the blessed Haram of Madinah Sharif, and the blessed Haram of Aqsa Sharif. May Allah Azza wa Jal keep all our harams safe, secure, tranquil, and may we all be blessed to perform salah in all three harams. Ameen bi jahi nabi al-ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now back to our topic of discussion for today. We were discussing, is marriage expensive? Actually, we can give a straightforward answer to that. But first, let us look at what people usually consider to be marriage and a marriage ceremony, as well as the tasks and the targets that they do place before marriage, during marriage, and after marriage that makes marriage seem very expensive. Firstly, when people look towards marriage, they often think that I need to save up a lot of money before I get married. I need to set myself up before I get married. So what people tend to do is they put their goals, especially their financial goals, first in line. Now, that's good in a certain way. And well, anything overdone can become problematic in most cases. So if people set very high standards and very high goals, then you might just end up in a situation that you're unable to marry for a very long time. For example, if someone says that I'm going to set up a business and I want my business to flourish and become $1 million worth business, and then I'll marry. How many people can do this in their youth? If someone says that before I marry, I want to prepare myself in such a way that I can buy my own house, I can buy my own vehicles, I can have lots of excess money, I can have lots of investments, etc., and then I want to marry. So the question is then, do we want to marry after retirement? And at what age do we think we're going to retire? Do we think we're going to retire at the age of 20, 25, 30? Or is retirement usually much later? Well, let's see the world around us. Let's look towards the world around us. And we realize that retirement is often, not all the time, but often towards the end of life. There are people that work throughout their lives and don't see retirement. And so if we're going to plan our marriage for when we are capable of retiring, are we really planning to get married? So many youth do want to get married, but they have these goals that I need to set myself up in this way and in that way, and then I can look towards marriage. I have these goals in line and I must achieve them before I get married. Now, it is good and it's positive to have some goals set. For example, you need to set your goals that you do need to start working, you do need to start earning, you need to be able to support yourself and support your spouse, support your family. And that support means at least your basic needs are taken care of, your usual normal standard of living, especially that which you grew up with, at least that can be matched. Then inshallah azza wa jal, you can look towards marriage. Now some may think this is too early, but if you don't do so, if you don't do this, then again, at what age do we want to marry? Do we really want to marry when we're ready for retirement? Often, the answer is no. We're not looking at marrying at the age of 60 and 65 and 70, as is the retirement age in possibly most countries around the world. So we want to marry at a young age. And if you want to marry at a young age, there's many positives of that as well. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The positives of marrying at a young age, the list can go on with regards to those. That Alhamdulillah, whilst you are young, whilst you are active, if you marry, you can enjoy your marriage. You can enjoy your time with your spouse. You both have energy. You both have bright minds. There's a future that you can build together. You can encourage each other towards worship and towards positive things. And you can do positive things together because you are so full of energy. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I see many youth, they strive to perform Umrah in their youth. That's excellent, because in old age, sometimes it does become a little bit difficult when the body is weaker. And so you should set these beautiful goals for youth. Whilst you are young and after marriage, subhanAllah, how beautiful that would be. But whenever you have the ability, whenever that ability of Hajj comes to you, then you need to go for Hajj. You're not allowed to delay. So if you get that ability before marriage, you need to do so. If you get the ability after marriage, then do so at that stage. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jalla, united couple at a young age can become a very prosperous couple growing together. And that's the key, growing together. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So once you are capable of being able to support yourself and your family, then for males, you are of an age to be able to get married. You need to start looking towards marriage. Also, it's important to remember that shaitan attacks the youth by drawing them towards their lustful desires. Because lust is usually very strong during youth. Our nafs is usually very strong during youth. And so shaitan uses that as his tool to be able to draw us away from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards the displeasure of Allah azza wa jalla. And we don't want to go there. We don't want to end up earning the displeasure of Allah azza wa jalla. We want the pleasure of Allah Rabbul Izzah, our Lord, our Creator, our Sustainer, inshallah azza wa jal. And so marriage is a beautiful way of protecting yourself against haram relations, against the fulfillment of haram or unlawful lustful desires, and that marriage becomes a shield for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged the youth that those amongst you who have the ability to marry, then you should marry. And if you don't have the ability to marry, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a beautiful weapon to fight against shaitan. Huzur Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraged, if you don't have the ability to marry in your youth, then you should fast, because fasting acts as a shield. As a shield against the tricks of shaitan, as a shield against lustful desires. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So those youth who want to marry but are not yet in the position to be able to marry, you have the solution. You should fast. And inshallah, if you fast, you'll be able to control your nafs, your carnal desires, a little bit more and a little bit better, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. It's also important that when we're looking towards marriage, to ensure that we have an Islamic mindset and an Islamic lifestyle. And why do we say so? Is because you tend to attract people who like what you are. So if you are living as a Muslim, an Islamic lifestyle, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, people who have an Islamic lifestyle and are looking for an Islamic lifestyle will find you attractive. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, and that's the kind of marriage that you would like to go into. Then, when people are planning their marriages, usually, unfortunately, there are many, many ceremonies that are attached to marriage. Now, this is not specifically an Islamic concept. People tend to have 5 and 7 ceremonies attached to their marriages, and this, of course, is going to make marriage very expensive. For example, people have 2 or 3 ceremonies, 2 or 3 functions before their marriage. Then they have the wedding itself, and then they have the reception, and then they have the walima, and then they have a few more functions after that. And if we're going to go into all of these functions, we are placing ourselves into expense. And thus, you find people having to save for years and years just in order to get married. Not in order to stay married, just to get married. So they spend thousands and thousands of rands or dollars upon their wedding. And it all happens just within a week. And it's all over. And then they realized that my lifetime savings up to now have all been spent in my wedding. I have gone into debt in order to pay for the expenses of my wedding, of my dream wedding. Everybody's eaten their food. Everyone's gone home, and I'm left with the burden of debt upon my shoulders. How sad is that? Indeed, how sad is that? We've brought this upon ourselves. And so, people tend to have proposal functions. They tend to have engagement functions. And then only they start to move towards the nikah. You have men's night out and ladies' night together, and all of these functions that keep being added to the nikah or to the marriage ceremony, and this just increases the expense. And many of them are also quite un-Islamically held. If you look towards the proposal ceremonies in today's time, throughout the world, in many parts of the world, let us rather say, they are often un-Islamic ceremonies that, yes, proposals can take place, it can take place between families, but where the veil, the parda is dropped between ghair mahram, men and women, this is not allowed. Indeed, Islam has placed a veil between a ghair maharim, between those people who you can marry. So Islam has placed a veil between them. And so there shouldn't be intermingling of sexes or intermingling of genders. Rather, there should be a clear separation. And then you have the engagement function. This is, well, we can say clearly an un-Islamic function. The engagement function. And look at how it's held in today's day and age. Sometimes the engagement function is held with so much of grandeur that it seems like the wedding function itself. And the bride-to-be and the groom-to-be often end up sitting on a stage together whilst they are still ghair mahram to each other. Whilst they are not married yet, they sit on a stage together. Everyone sits and looks towards them. Men and women are both present. Both can see each other. Veils are dropped. People come to the stage to take pictures with them, and rings are then exchanged in the engagement function. They are not a married couple yet. The man, the male who is the groom-to-be, touches the hand of the bride-to-be. The bride-to-be touches the hand of the groom-to-be. This is completely un-Islamic. Islam does not teach us to behave in this way. This is the motivation of shaitan. Shaitan is taking us towards the displeasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if we obey him in doing this, then we're going to earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this sort of function, for this sort of unlawful activities, people spend thousands and thousands of rands or dollars or rupees, depending on your currency, wherever you are in the world. And so, we are making it extremely expensive. Then the wedding function itself, the nikah itself, is held with so much of pomp and glory that thousands are again spent in it. The vehicles that the bride and the groom are to arrive in, that too has to be hired. It does not have to be hired, but people have set those sort of standards that they have to hire vehicles and spend lots of money in that. And then there's so much of decoration through the hall. And then again the veil, the parda between men and women, is dropped. And the bride has her place on the stage. And the groom has his place on the stage. And may Allah Azza wa Jal protect us. Though in many functions, in many such functions, music is played as well. People dance as well. People unveil themselves. Ladies unveil their hair. Men and women are intermingling. All of these are haram activities. And then we tell ourselves that we are moving towards nikah, which is the sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How can we make such a mockery of the sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We say that we are practicing a sunnah whilst we are doing so much of unlawful activities in that function. This is indeed very sad. And so much of money is being spent on many unlawful activities. And we have called the entire thing the marriage or the nikah ceremony. This is not the sunnah way of holding a nikah ceremony. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that the best of nikahs, the best of marriages, is that which is least burdensome. The best of marriages is that which is least burdensome. We should not make marriage a burden. We should not make it an expensive event. We should not make it an event that costs us so much that we need to put our lifetime savings into it and then end up penniless. Then again, the trend seems to be growing of extremely high mahars. The dowries or the mahar, the gift that is given from the side of the groom or from the groom to the bride. People are unfortunately setting very high levels of mahar. Many, many, many thousands of rands or of dollars are being placed as mahar, and this is being announced to the people, and everybody listens, and everyone feels, wow, what a high mahar was given, and others now try to match that standard. We are simply again making marriage extremely expensive. There is a simple amount of mahar that can be given, not an extravagant amount that we have to give. We can give, the minimum mahar is actually quite low. And how beautiful if you can meet the mahar Fatimi, the mahar that was given to Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha upon her nikah. If we can meet that, excellent. If we cannot meet that, but we are above the minimum mahar, wonderful. It's not a problem. It's good, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. But we don't need to set very high standards. When we set very high standards, we make it difficult upon ourselves. And people then think that, no, I want to give my child a good wedding, and I want my child to have an extravagant wedding, and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, and we make so many excuses. Whilst your son or your daughter could have married at a young age and started up their lives. But because of the amount of money that we wanted to spend on those weddings, because of how extravagant we wanted to make those weddings, because of how expensive we wanted to make those weddings, we end up spending all our monies and the monies of our children just in one ceremony. Just in one ceremony that's held over a few days under the name of different functions. And sometimes, again, as we've mentioned, people tend to go into debt just to impress others. How sad is this? Indeed, how sad is this? Then only comes the walima. And the walima feast is actually a sunnah feast. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. So there we should feed people. But again, there's a lot of extravagance that goes into that. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, many people break many boundaries of the Sharia whilst going through this function. So we should try to ensure that we do not break the boundaries of Sharia at any of our events. We should not have music. We should not have intermingling of sexes. We should not have unveiling of people where the opposite genders, the opposite sexes can see each other. We should be careful not to be wasteful of food. This too is a problem in society, that there's too much of wastage that happens at many of our events. At the same time, from time to time, we do find that although there may be parda, there may be a separation between the menfolk and the womenfolk at these events, you sometimes find male folks serving the women folk and women folk serving the male folk. This too, we should try to refrain from. There needs to be proper shari'i veiling between everyone at our events. And so, when we can actually keep marriage quite simple, when we can actually keep marriage quite inexpensive, why do we make it so expensive? Yes, there's a proposal process. That is where the families can meet and they can speak and they can discuss matters with regards to the nikah. A date for the nikah should be set. And if you are ready to marry and your future spouse is ready to marry as well, then don't set a date that is too far in advance. We don't know what can happen until then. And we do know that shaitan is constantly working on us until then as well. And so shaitan tries to motivate both the future spouses to start speaking and spending time with each other. And unfortunately, they move towards haram premarital relationships. And so the best weddings are those that are kept simple. We don't need to hold lots of functions around the weddings. Yes, the proposal process where the families would get together and see that the couple is compatible. And then the nikah. The nikah is the beautiful ceremony in which the actual marriage takes place. And after the nikah, after the couple are together, then later on the next day or the day after, a walima function is held. And what is that? The walima function is a feast where people are brought together, people are gathered, and they are fed. And the walima function is considered to be a sunnah function as well. So that is what should be held for a nikah. That is what should be held for a wedding. Mahar, it's good if we can manage to keep mahar at a decently low amount, at a manageable amount that is within our means. We shouldn't strive to have very high mahars, and a woman folk shouldn't be demanding very high mahars that are too difficult for their future husbands to be able to pay, and at times even to pay off. We should try to keep it simple. We should try to keep it less burdensome, because Rasulullah ﷺ said, the best of weddings are those that are least burdensome. At the same time, the worst of functions, the worst of feasts are those to which only the wealthy are invited and the poor are neglected. And so we should try to invite the poor to our functions. So if we have a walima ceremony, there should be fuqara, there should be ghuraba, there should be poor people who are also invited. They should not be left out just on the basis of their poverty. And so people will be fed at the walima function. And there too, if we have the ability of having a walima, having the feast such that we can afford to invite 50 people, then why should we invite 100? If we can afford to invite 100 people, why should we invite 500? And if we can afford to invite 500 people, why should we invite 1,000? Do within our capability. In fact, if we feel that people might be offended if we do not invite them, then we can invite people and make the function simpler. Instead of having a 7-course meal, maybe have a 3-course. Instead of having a 3-course meal, maybe have a 1-course meal. Have a simple function instead and still invite people that they are not offended, that they understand and that they know that you invited them to your function and that you have served them. And so this beautiful, simple way makes marriage seem quite easy. And if you have lots of money that you are able to spend on the wedding, and now we are saying that it's good to keep the nikah and keep the wedding simple, then what do you do with the rest? Well, at least the couple can now start off their life with the rest. How wonderful if the couple could now invest in a home for themselves. How wonderful if they could now invest in vehicles for themselves. How wonderful if they could now invest in business in order to assist them, to help them grow together. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So couples don't have to start off being very wealthy. They can be young, yes. And they can have little wealth, enough to support themselves, enough to survive, enough to start up their lives. It's important that they grow together. It's important that they grow together. They will be with each other during some difficult times as well, because they are living in the world. The dunya is the place of difficulty. So sometimes they might go through difficult times, but when they stand with each other during difficult times, then indeed in ease, they will not leave each other, inshallah azza wa jal. And so, let them grow together. Let the couple grow together. Of course, after marriage, after nikah, after the relation is halal, they should grow together. They should build themselves up. And inshallah azza wa jal, perhaps soon, they could be blessed with children as well. And that too. We don't have to plan in advance in such a way that we need ourselves fully established with all the wealth of the world and all of our goals achieved before we move towards having children in our marriages. No. And as we can manage to support our children, we can look at that step as well. And we continuously grow. Our financial abilities will grow, inshallah, azza wa jal. We will become more and more financially stable and wealth will come in as well, inshallah azza wa jal, as per the will of Allah Rabbul Izzah. But you need to take the first step. When we are ready for marriage, people are of marriageable age, they want to be married, they have the means to be able to get married, to be able to support their family, then it's time to look towards that direction. It's time to take the first step. It's time to take the step and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the way. But ensure that when you are taking these steps, you are taking them in the halal way. You are taking them in such a way that they don't become burdens on your shoulders that you need to pay off for the rest of your life or for many years to come. And so, keep nikah simple. There is barakah in simple nikahs. There is barakah in simple marriages. Marriage is not expensive. People make marriage seem expensive. There was a wonderful saying that I heard once, that when marriage becomes expensive, then unlawful relations become cheap. When marriage becomes expensive, then unlawful relations become cheap. When marriage itself becomes expensive, then people start to look towards unlawful relations, and that should not be our direction. Rather, keep marriage simple. Keep it simple so people who are nearing the age of marriage, they are at the ability and the maturity of marriage, they can take a step towards marriage, fulfilling the sunnah, and at the same time, being protected from the tricks of shaitan. And inshallah azza wa jal, in this way, you will have a society that will flourish. Stay Islamically inclined. Stay attached to the beautiful Madani environment of Dawat Islam. Keep a beautiful mindset, Islamic mindset. Keep the love of Allah azza wa jal and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very strong in your hearts. Keep your actions according to the sunnah. Keep learning the knowledge of deen. Keep your appearance as well as your internal state according to the teachings of Islam. And inshallah azza wa jal, you will attract good, pious, Islamically inclined spouses. And then inshallah azza wa jal, the success of your marriage will gradually start and progress, inshallah azza wa jal. But keep the mindset that through towards the marriage ceremony, during the marriage ceremony, and after the marriage ceremony, we will not break the laws of Islam. We will not go against the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep this mindset strong. And then inshallah azza wa jal, you're going to see the barakah, the blessings flow through your ceremonies into your lives and into your lives as a couple. May Allah Azza wa Jal keep us steadfast upon the blessed sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahi khatam al-nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Challenges of youth.
O youth in the path of Islam, stand tall. O youth in the path of Islam, stand tall. With patience and prayer, you shall not fall. With patience and prayer, you shall not fall.